Welcome to, and welcome back to Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one because they get a good reward for their labor. And if one was to fall, the other would be there to pick that person back up. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I am Chelsea Corsi.
And we are still married. We are your hosts with the, we are your hosts, you know, but I'm pretty sure whoever's listening can get that much. Yes. We're not random people that walked into a place that had mics and just, you know, just came and started talking. We're people that are here on purpose. You know, you don't really appreciate people, Chelsea, until they're gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like when I was younger in our relationship, I feel like this sounds like a bad thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because I feel like I would have been more okay if you had died. We know, especially if before we had, like, kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you'll be sad, but you feel like you could go on. Like, now, I don't know what I would do. Like, I would, somebody would have to come here because I think I might just be laying next to the bed for at least a month or
okay.
two.
Okay. Like, not next to the bed.
Next to the, not even in the bed because that's too comfortable. If you're too comfortable, you know,
you ain't sad. Like,
you ain't sad.
You're too comfortable. I'm not mourning.
Oh, you ain't mourning. You living the life of luxury.
That's funny.
And, you know, I just came from playing. Like, that's just crazy to me. But I feel like the further we go along, like, the more we become intertwined, like, the harder it is to actually imagine yourself without that person.
Yes.
It's like, when you really sit and ask yourself, like, well, okay, well, what would life actually be? Like, okay, they're not here anymore. And you start thinking about it. It's like, okay, well, this is, like, I don't know. What happens with the kids? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, where do I still work in the same place? What, like, what do I do? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But me coming from playing a memorial service, and you can see, like, you know, it was a woman who passed, you know, obviously a wife to somebody and a mother to some people, and just, you know, just,
were they young kids or
old? No. This is an older woman. Okay. She was born in like 44, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know that when I got there, but yeah, you know, older woman, but still, it's just like having that loved one. Mm-hmm. And having all that time in, Chelsea, it's the time in.
It is.
That it's like you can't even, it's hard to even quantify what happens to two people when they become one over a long time period.
Yeah.
And to be able to say, like, well, what happens when you try to break that apart?
Yeah.
Yeah, or like what happens when, you know, one part really, like, leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And whether to be with the Lord or to leave because, you know, they just can't take it no more.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do to that person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's, yeah. Well, and I hope what you mean is that it's more so just, like, harder to actually do life without them. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it definitely just hurts regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But just the more, it's not just like emotionally intertwined at that point, it's actually intertwined in every way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, it's like everything is falling apart now. Like, literally everything's falling apart.
Literally everything. I mean,
like, I'm not just hurting because you're gone. Like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can get a little rough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's coming. You know, Miles Monroe, I mean, he died tragically.
Yeah.
Him and his wife together, but
it's the best way.
I don't know if that's the best
Throw
way.
Throw the kids on there, too.
I don't,
we're okay. all going.
I mean, they're going to kill the kids. They in their 20s. Like, nah, you got to go, too.
You got to go.
It's like, hold on, guys. I got some more living to do.
Nah.
Yeah, but he said, I prepared myself. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you can't, you know, it could happen. Somebody could go before the other, but I prepared myself. But it ain't that much preparation in the world, I don't think.
No.
I don't think so.
Because at the end of the day, like, you don't think certain things are going to happen, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know it could, but you don't think it's going to happen to you. Like,
yeah.
You don't go about your day like, today might be the day that they're gone.
To meet the Lord.
Like, not when you're young and, you know, healthy and mm-hmm. just everything is generally well. Like, even Miles Monroe, that was a plane crash. That wasn't a hospital visit that he didn't return from or something like that. That's different.
No, it was not.
You don't expect those. And that's what I was thinking about Dominique and Marcus, too. They didn't have any kids yet at the time. They have one now, but
Dominique and Marcus Valentine. You can very easily find them online. But she was diagnosed with cancer, like, I think it was within their first year of marriage. Yeah. And they were in their early 20s. And nobody expects that. And if, God forbid, she had passed, you know, it's like, you, nobody thinks, you know, it can happen. Mm-hmm. And you've heard of it happening, but nobody thinks, oh yeah, like, maybe. Yeah. Like, you just kind of go about life until the time comes where it arises. And then you're like, oh, dang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. Yes, like, we're here it now. Actually happened to us. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary event. Life-shifting events.
Yeah.
And of course, you got God. God is he's a different guy, mm-hmm. you know, because he'll put you in that, mm-hmm. which is really an odd thing that we have to actually wrestle with. Mm-hmm. God is the one who is... God will protect you, but he'll also put you in a fire.
Yeah.
Like, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
He'll protect you, but he'll put you in a fire. You know, he'll save you from drowning, but he'll, you know, rain on you for 2 weeks.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You survive the pond, but it'll throw you in a lake. You survive the sea, but now you're drowning in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I say that to say this, you know, Satan comes to God, you know, in the book of Job, comes to God and says, hey, man. You know, God says, anyway, where have you been, Satan? You know, God initiates the conversation. Hey, what's going on with you? He's like, yeah, you know me. You know, to and fro, here and there, everywhere, north, south, east, west, you know, seeing who I could devour. He says, hey, well, have you considered devouring Job?
Yep.
Right. And, you know, everybody knows the rest, but, like, he literally consents, like, okay, let's go destroy his life, but just keep him living. I was like, okay, all right. And this was consented by God. So now when you add God into the mix, it's like God will literally allow you to go through some really tough things, mm-hmm. for his glory, ultimately.
Yeah, he will.
But it doesn't mean it's like, you know, you're going to go through tough things, but you don't know the name of these tough things.
Yeah.
And you cannot quantify the experience that you get going through them.
No, you cannot.
Can't nutshell it. Like, oh, okay, I got that. Mm-mm. It's like, I don't think it's always going to be that simple. Like, oh, this is what I got from that. It's like, you're still scarred from this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that simple. And some people may stand up and say, I have no idea why I went through that.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
A little rough.
Yeah, it is a little rough. But, okay, well, let's get into it.
Yeah, so... Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
That's his name.
All right. Praise God.
White chocolate for some.
What now?
White chocolate.
Okay.
And listen, some black ladies like him. You know, he's kind of a cool white dude.
That's so hilarious. Okay.
Hey, well,
yeah. So, you know, they shared a really heartwarming moment when his team won the AFC championship.
Okay.
And why are you laughing?
It's only fun. I'm sorry. I was just happy that you got the conference right, because I was like, oh man.
I just read it.
She's about to say.
I just read it. And I went on a limb. I said, I'm pretty sure it said AFC. I'm going to give it a whirl. And the Lord kept me. Holy Spirit brought it to my remembrance.
Yes, he did. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes, they shared a heartwarming moment after his team won. That is pretty viral at the moment. And, you know, just made me think on the fact, because you also had told me a few days ago that you watched Kev on Stage's interview with Tim Ross, and that he was talking about how him and his wife have, you know, inside jokes that are like, how many years old did he say?
I don't know. He said that he was making a point about something else, but, you know, decades.
Yeah, like, you know, and let's just throw something out there. You got inside jokes with each other that are like 20 years old.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, you don't want to throw that away,
mm-hmm.
and let's start over. And it's like, this person don't know nothing about me, don't know nothing about my life, ain't been nowhere that I've been.
Yes.
We don't got no inside jokes.
Nothing.
You know, you don't throw it away easily for that.
Yes.
You know, but I'm looking also at Taylor Swift and how, you know, like, she was emotional with him.
Yeah.
And probably because she knew how much this meant to him, and not just on a surface level of course, this is a big accomplishment. But no, I've been with you as you've been training for this, as you've been, you know, fighting for this, and then you win. Mm-hmm. And now that celebration together is that much richer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm really, like, I've been with you, you know? And it's like, you know, so in this season where we're talking about, just in case anybody's a first time listener, why should I get married? We live in a world where people are asking, why should we even do that?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the reasons that that is something that cannot be, that's something that can't be replicated outside of being married. Because, and I mean, the closest thing you can get is like your family members or your best friends from childhood or something that are like, yeah, you know, like they've always been, you know, he's been playing since he was 12 and he, you know, his whole life led up to this, you know. But when you're in these casual relationships or just not in one at all, like as far as romantic relationships are concerned, you know, that's something that you can't, like, they can't be, they aren't with you.
No, you're not with
Nobody's
me.
With you.
No, not at all.
And then when these big things happen, it's like, it sounds cliche, but seriously, who am I sharing this with?
Wow.
You know, and even when you think about your parents and everything, some people really do have best friends that are so, so close, you know, but like your parents and everything, most of the time, once you become an adult, some people have that type of relationship with their parent where they're like super tight, you know, and like they literally share everything and are together all the time. But not everybody. I feel like maybe 50-50, you know, if not less.
Yeah.
But some about being married, it's a different level of, I've been there with you, because it's like I'm there with you, like when you're crying at night and I'm rubbing out your leg cramps and I'm you know, running to the store to get you some Bengay and you know, certain things like that, where it's like I can't, it's somebody that I've been with for 2 months or somebody that I casually sleep with or something like that, like you don't know me.
No.
And you don't know how I feel. You don't know just what my life has been.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, there's something in the word that it, like, it really, and okay, let me say it like this, Charles, is that God wants us to know him like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because we're humans and there's so much sin in the world. And, you know, there was a time where, this is so, and in my study, Chels, I'll be in the word now, Chels.
Amen.
I'll be in the word. I read the same scripture every day.
That's
the
same, hilarious.
Just John 3:16. But I'll be in that.
I know that. I know it's good. You know it, but you don't know it's good.
Yes, but God desires for us to have that's like the togetherness that you're talking about in marriage. He desires for us to have that with him.
Yeah.
And like there's so much sin in the world that our relationships with God have been strained, and it becomes harder and harder to hear him and to know him as you have more and more distractions.
Yes.
There's so much. We're so inundated with, you know, we grew up learning about evolution.
Yeah.
Evolution isn't even true.
Yes.
But, like, you know, everybody has learned about it, so they think it's true. This is something that literally did not exist 4,000 years ago. There was no, oh, you know what actually happened?
Right.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Right. Even if we disagree on who the creator is, we all know there is one.
Yes, we know there's a creator.
And now all of a sudden, what if there isn't?
You know, what if there isn't? It's like even, you know, even the ancient people that Israel was against, they were still worshiping gods or a deity.
Yeah.
There was no like, oh, there's no such thing as God.
No.
It was like, no, you know, they was ODing. But I just think about the time. It's like literally in Genesis, there's a time where it says the Lord says to such and such. And the Lord said to such and such. Like the Lord was literally speaking.
Yeah. Like, we've become distant.
Like, this is how distant we are. And this was to Cain. Cain is the most recent one I could think that was early.
Mm-hmm.
And Cain wasn't, you know, he wasn't even
Adam.
Adam, right?
And Eve.
Fine. Like, you can get that because he's there.
Right.
But then this is after the garden.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're out of his presence. And he still was like, hey, Cain. He's like, you know, what are you doing?
Where's your brother?
Where's your brother, Cain? It's like, why is he even here to ask him this?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, but it's just a different time.
Yeah.
But I say that to say this, that he desires for us to have that same relationship. And I will never forget. It literally changed my life. When Ron, Pastor Ryan, I'm going to call him Ron Tucker because he's grown and he's my father's cousin. So that's Pastor Ron Tucker, when he says to me, and I love him because he's just a really good Bible teacher. Mm. No, not frilly, you know, not really frilly. Yeah. Just really gets to the scripture and the word, and it's always very edifying. Mm. And I was saying to him, well, how do you read the scripture and how do you study it and such? And, you know, he's talking to me about context. But he says this. He says that a lot of times in our lives, we don't think about how what we are doing makes God feel. Mm. But we should. We should. Mm-hmm. It's like you should care how this is making God feel.
Yeah.
Because when we're sinning, we don't always think about it as I'm hurting God.
Yeah.
We think about it as this is wrong or right.
Yes.
Which is good. Which is right is a good thing, right?
Yes.
But it's deeper than that. It's like literally in the Old Testament, it equates God to saying like, your sin makes me have to turn my face from you.
Yeah.
And that the blessing is that his face is upon you.
Yes.
Meaning that you have his full attention. Mm-hmm. He's literally looking at you and looking on you. He's literally looking over you. I'm looking at you. It's like when you sin, it's like you're spitting in the face of the attention that he desires to give you.
Yeah.
And he literally has to turn his face towards you. And then he says to Israel, like, my face is against you.
Yeah.
I have to give you up to whatever comes to you now. Mm-hmm. And let's be clear. The reason why the things weren't coming to you is because my face was upon you.
Yeah.
I was your protection. I was your deliverer. I see your enemy from afar off and turn them another way.
Yeah.
I see such and such and I keep it from you. I keep you from disease. And I literally, you're forcing me to turn my face from you.
As
much as I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I can't see you. I literally can't even look on you anymore. So whatever is there, you just have to take it. Mm-hmm. It's like the things that God is saying I'm going to do to you is really not even him doing to him. It's really just
He's allowing.
He's lifting his hand.
Yeah.
But he says this, and if I'm not mistaken, it's in Isaiah, where he says, Israel, you broke my heart. Mm-hmm. You broke my heart. Mm-hmm. It's like what have I done to you that would make you treat me like this? It's like, I love you. Like you broke my heart. Mm-hmm. And now I have to give you up.
Yeah.
And it just sticks with me because it's like God has a heart.
Yeah.
And we are at the center of it.
Yeah. Wow.
And we don't always think about that relationship in that aspect to say, well, you know, this is my wife and this is my husband. This here is something that I know aggravates them. But I just can't help myself, or I find myself doing it over and over again. And we don't always think about that with God, that God is, but he's like, he's way better. Like, you know, he's a lot higher. His level of holiness is different.
Yeah.
He's not your wife or husband. And when you grieve him and you force him to, you know, to turn his face from you, it's like, he wants you to be the apple of his eye. He
right.
wants to be able to have his attention on you. And we are taking on this stuff that just messes with the relationship.
Yeah.
To where it, you know, it just stifles the relationship, but it's because we don't always think of God in a human perspective. And that's one of the few human perspectives I think is good for us to actually see him in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, don't oversimplify him, but don't overcomplicate him either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same God that will offer you up to Satan, but preserve your life. But it's also the same God that will keep you in all your ways.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's the tension. That's crazy. The tension that to live like this guy, where he can give you up, but he can also completely, you know, take control of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had mentioned last week that I'm reading Mere Christianity, and C.S. Lewis said something that really stuck out to me. He said, you know, God is good. Mm-hmm. And but not in the sense that we're always like, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Not like that.
Yes,
but that he is completely moral.
Right.
And that if he is completely moral, mm-hmm. and then we are immoral.
Yes.
You know, that's the tension.
Yes.
You know, that is the tension. And it just was interesting to me because I never thought of it like when I say God is good. Mm-hmm. I think like, oh, he's good to me.
Right.
And he was actually making the point that it's like, you know, when people have all these issues with like, oh, but why is there evil in the world if he's so good? And because he's moral.
Right.
Amen. That's why. And in his morality, he didn't go into this, but in his at least not where I'm at in the book. But in his morality, mm-hmm. he's letting you choose.
Yes.
Because he's just. And it's not fair for him to just be like, so I'm God, and here's what you're going to do, and you're going to worship me, you're going to love me, you're going to obey me, right. And you're a robot. Yes. You know, and he's like, well, no, I'm just, I'm fair. Mm-hmm. And in my fairness, I'm going to give you all the truth and make it available to you. And I'm going to appeal to your heart. But if you refuse, mm-hmm. I'm going to let you choose what you chose,
yeah.
You know, but also I have to punish wrong because I'm good.
Right.
I have to punish bad because I'm good. I can't like bad. Right. I can't. And it was interesting because he was saying people, because he's really talking about like the law of human nature a lot and not so much of like, well, anyway, in the sense that our it's so good how he's breaking it down. Like, it's really like makes me want to like, ah,
it's
like, ah,
yes, you meant it.
No, but
it's good.
So I can't take it. It's too good. But yeah, he's breaking it down so good. And I really value good teaching.
Yes.
I'm a good teacher.
Hey, I know.
But like, I really value good teaching because like, I'd just be like, all right, I see what you're doing. But anyway, so like the way.
I see you, C.S. Lewis. I see you.
Terrible. Well, the way that he's building it up, I'm struggling to get it out because I can't say it like him. But the buildup is that like, he's starting off with like very simple facts. And it's like he's building a case. That's really what he's doing. He's building a case. And he's, so where I'm at now, he's like, you know, before all of y'all, oh no, this is another Christianity, you know, just pushing Christianity on me book. He's like, hear me out. That's not even where we are yet. I'm just acknowledging that there must be a God, you know, because we've acknowledged that all of us have this sense of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And all of us have this sense of like accountability to do the right thing and feel like we've done something wrong when we do the wrong thing. But that was not written anywhere, or, you know, it wasn't something that we had, you know, in the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And when you're born, you know, it's like nobody has to tell you, it's just in there. Mm-hmm. And and so it's like, if we know that, then we know that that nature must have come from somewhere. You know, but like he built a very good case for it or whatever. But he said, but human nature is that somehow we find ourselves doing the wrong thing, whether we want to or not. Mm-hmm. That's human nature. Mm. And he's like, he basically wound up saying something about like, it's not this thing is like, I can decide what is right and wrong according to what like best serves me. Yeah, it's hard to all break down, but like it's not about like how it best serves me. It's about it literally just is for everybody, no matter what. And he said the rub comes when it's like, oh, but I want you to make an exception for me, basically.
Yeah.
Like that's where the problem lies, you know. And then when God can't make an exception. Now all of a sudden we have issues with God. Now we don't want to receive the truth.
Yeah,
you know, and so yeah, it's very good. I wish that I could say it eloquently, but it's very good. I don't really remember the reason that I brought this up. There was a reason. Oh, because God wants to be
in
relationship with us. He wants to be in fellowship with us, but unfortunately, you know, because He is good and we are not.
Yeah.
You know, but because he's good, because he's so by the law, you can't let people breaking the law slide, you know, and therein lied the need for a savior, you know, and therefore he created the salvation plan and he himself, you know, as Jesus Christ, who is still him, you know, comes down as a man to die for us so that a man like us could have paid the penalty for our sin, and which is just so intricate, but yeah, it's just, it's really, really good. But he's like, we're not even there yet. Like, who cares? Like, we're not even at the point of like which God is the correct God, or you know, all that type of, or I'm telling you to believe in Jesus. We're just at the point of just establishing, we all agree about human nature, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all agree about a common morality, you know, and the only people that try to dismiss that morality are the people who don't want to have to be accountable to their own sin.
Right.
You know, it's very interesting. But anywho, You know, God is literally good, you know, and it's like, it's actually a good thing that he is good. It's not just ruining our fun. Mm-hmm. It's like, he literally is making things right.
Right.
And it's like,
that's better.
That's better.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a way better way of thinking it.
Was so hard to get out, but yeah.
He's not ruining. That's funny. He's not, he's not ruining your fun. He's actually trying to make things better.
Yes.
And we are making things worse by not allowing him to.
Yes.
Yes. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And this whole time when you first said the scripture, because I guess the idea of the marriage portion is that the time in that, you know, people share together creates a deeper bond.
Mm-hmm.
It creates something deeper. It creates something stronger. And in this time, I was thinking about Moses, Moshe.
Amen.
And shout out to Pastor Bogan. That's my man. And I was thinking about Moses and I have to say this is that, you know, closeness with anybody comes at a high price.
Yeah.
To the point where you said God can't make an exception.
Yeah.
In that Moses was literally God's most faithful servant. The Bible says that Moses was the most faithful in all of God's house,
mm-hmm.
meaning, you know, all people who dwell or abide in him, that Moses was the most faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And literally one mistake that he made, you know, cost him going into the land of promise.
Mm-hmm.
But Moses spent 40 years getting to know God.
Yeah.
And in many ways, well, it seemed like sometimes he was the only one getting to know God. The rest of these people was just out there complaining and being mad. But Moses, his relationship with God is so much more intimate. But, you know, he knew God more than they did. And he spent more time with him. And he got more of the effects of being with God. And he got more of the responsibility.
That's it.
Right.
And you knew better.
You knew better.
Yeah.
Moses,
yeah.
You know me.
Wow.
You know me. You know me in the cloud.
Wow.
They don't know me in the cloud. Mm-hmm. You know me that I would come down in a pillar of cloud and I would talk to Moses.
Wow.
Matter of fact, the only person who even had closest was Joshua,
mm-hmm.
because Joshua would stay in the tabernacle of meeting, if I'm saying it correctly. He would stay where the glory of God was,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't talking to God, but he was just in the glory.
Yeah, wow.
Right? Whereas mm-hmm. the people, they weren't in the glory.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't in my intimate space where I talk to you plainly. It's many people believe that, you know, Yahweh is Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that the Father God was always in heaven, and that, you know, pretty much any physical manifestation of God is always Christ on earth. Many people believe that. I mean, I believe that personally as well.
Okay.
But there's a lot of things you have to reconcile and be sure. I believe it, but I'm not sure if I can back it up the way.
And the thing is, it's not really that deep as to whether that's right or wrong, because he's God still.
Right. So. They're one.
Yeah.
Right. They're one at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how they do that is very hard to
grasp.
It's very hard to compute, you know.
Yes.
Because a voice from heaven comes and said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased."
Yes.
So that wasn't Christ saying it.
Right.
Right. But even, you know, in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord often was the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about Zerubbabel, a.k.a. Gideon, where, you know, he thinks it's an angel, then he realizes, oh, it's actually God I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
That's still the angel of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then the angel, you know, it's hard to compute.
Hmm.
Right. But at the end of the day.
Interesting. I'm sorry. I have to say, because maybe the angel means just like
messenger. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, like God as a messenger. Here's a physical messenger, God.
Yeah, it's just I've taken on a form.
Like that's how some people think of it, right?
That's interesting.
And that God the Father is really like the source. Father in Hebrew is you know, source, sustainer of life, of everything. Mm-hmm. And that Father has always been in heaven, and that, you know, if he's coming on the earth, then it was Christ.
Mm. That's interesting.
It is interesting because Christ says, you know, no man has ever seen or heard the Father,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm.
It's like, really?
heard. I never thought about that.
Right. Like, they've never heard his voice. That's what Jesus says.
I never thought about that.
I know.
Because I've read it, but I never.
Right.
You know what? I have to say real fast.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Because I was watching the YouVersion little message of the day today.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude, he was, it was, they're doing like a series on the parables of Jesus this week. Mm-hmm. And the dude was talking about the parable of the sower. And I loved how he, I loved how he interpreted it. Mm-hmm. Cause people always talk about like, oh, the seed fell on this kind of ground and you don't want to, you know, let whatever, you know, choke it out. Like you want to get mm-hmm. deep roots and persevere till the end.
Okay.
That type of situation. You know, people always say that. But he was saying it's about your posture mm-hmm. toward the word of God. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's good. Because that's true. Right. You know? and he said, so you can open the Bible today and you can say, all right, I read this verse 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. All right. And then go about your business. Or you can say, Lord, give me. Because it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's actually the verse of the day.
Yeah.
But that was preceding the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was making him, you know, talk about the parable or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you can actually go in and say, Lord, give me ears to hear mm-hmm. and eyes to see like something fresh mm-hmm. in your word versus just being passive about it. Because when you're looking at the parable of the sower, you know, people are letting other things like overshadow or take away or, mm-hmm. you know, distract or whatever the case may be. But he's like, if your posture toward the word of God is that like you're looking for revelation and you're receptive,
yeah.
you know, then he will reveal and you can receive, yeah. you know, and that's I never thought of it that way. I always saw it as a parable about salvation mm-hmm. and he made it like applicable to people who are already saved, you know,
right.
which I really appreciated. But yeah, I just wanted to say that because you just said that. And I'm like, I've read that 1,000 times. And it never dawned on me that he just said no one has heard.
Right. Seen or heard.
Seen is one thing.
Seen. Right. Seen.
That doesn't blow my mind. But heard, you know, blows what? My mind.
And now you're making me feel like he may have not said seen. I feel like he said seen. But I know for sure he definitely said no one has heard the voice. No one has ever heard his voice.
Mm.
And then it says the Son has declared him. Like I'm announcing him.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is when I listened to that sermon that I heard some years ago about a guy who's breaking down. Like this is one of the biggest things that makes his case for who was the actual, you know, who was Yahweh.
Right.
Who were they talking to? Because when he says it in John and saying that no man has ever, I'm almost positive he said no one has seen or heard, but no man has seen. Yeah. Wait, go ahead and look it up.
Yeah, I got you.
Where no man has seen or heard his voice. So, you know, and I don't know if this is when he was about to, you know, blaspheme for them. I'm not sure, but he's making, you know, clear indication like, oh, wait, you thought you were talking to the Father,
mm-hmm.
you know, when indeed you were not. And they're talking about, you know, you go back to the Bible, you're talking about Abraham, Moses.
Right, right.
Well, everybody. Yeah,
is he... That's the question then. Mm-hmm. Is he talking to the people he's currently talking to in that mm-hmm. moment, or is he talking about in history?
Yes. So that could
that
be
then
where
becomes
you could
the question.
See it. Right. But I believe he was saying in general, if you read the full context, he's saying you've never, no man. He says no man,
mm-hmm.
not none of y'all. He says no man has heard.
Right? Yeah, that is what it said. John 5:37, and the Father himself who hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape.
There you go. So you've never seen his form, mm-hmm. right? But you've never heard his voice ever.
Yeah.
Right.
At any time.
This is like some of those words, languages.
Yeah,
weird.
That's interesting.
It's like it's not saying, you know, yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
no, you've never, even if you felt like you have.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
But I said to say that about Moses is that he had that relationship, but it comes with and when you think about your actual marriage, it's like the deeper you are in, it's like the more something catastrophic, the more something can become catastrophic.
Yeah.
That here it is. Moses has been walking with the Lord for 40 years and he does one thing that violates the trust. That shatters it. It really shatters it.
Yeah.
And it's a heartbreaking sort of thing, honestly.
Yeah.
You feel bad for Moses.
You do, and I mean, we feel bad for ourselves,
right?
Because it's like, well, Lord, doggone it, I be trying to do. Like, I'm pretty good, doggone it, I be trying to do stuff right.
But
and I just, you know, a little bit of sin here and there, and you're just like.
On a daily basis.
Right.
But God, he says, like I said to you the other day, it's like as I was with Moses, Joshua,
I will be with you.
It's like the same intimacy that God had with Moses, he desires to have with you. Like that closeness, that oneness, that I come to your behalf when people come at you.
Yeah.
He did that multiple times.
Yeah.
Irrespective of who it is. They come at you, Moses, I got you. They come for your neck. Don't worry, I got
you. She has leprosy now.
You got the leprosy. You're a leper now.
Yeah. Touch not God's anointed and do his servant no harm.
Yeah. But that comes from that intimate relationship.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. And in marriage, I think that, I think we live in a world where people don't value relationships at all much anymore. Not the same as they used to. Like, it's kind of like trending to be an introvert.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is. It's a trend now. Yeah, I'm an introvert. So I've had my fill of social interaction. I just want to go home and Netflix and chill and like be by myself. And I appreciate my alone time. And, you know, I need to decompress and meditate and all this stuff. And it's like, it's cute. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, and people also have come to a place where we're more content with, we're more content with less physical interaction now. Like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, we kept in touch because I see you on Facebook. I have not spoken to you. Or maybe I've left a comment or two and you've left a comment or two and it's like, oh yeah, we stay in touch. No.
No.
You don't stay in touch.
No, I don't know you like that.
And you don't know them like that because they ain't put in all of their, and if they did put all their personal business on social media, you'd be calling them, talking about some, you need to stop that.
Right.
Everybody would be coming at them like, why are you putting all your business on social media? But it's like, no, you don't actually have intimacy with this person. Like, people don't value intimacy anymore in friendships or family relationships or anything. Just like, oh yeah, as long as I know you're alive and you're good over there, we're fine. We don't need to be all interested in the details of each other's lives and just our actual true well-being, you know? And I'm even thinking about, you brought up Cain, where he says, like, like he says, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, sir. Yes, you are. And it's like, but how can you be your brother's keeper when you don't know where your brother is? Where's your brother? You're supposed to know that. That's what God is essentially saying. I mean, not only is he calling him out for what he did and telling him, like, yeah, you think I don't see what's going on. I see you. Like, I've been watching this whole time, you know? Like, don't act like I don't know. So, I mean, that's the general gist of what he's trying to say is, don't play me, Cain. I saw what you did. But I think what he's also saying is, you know where your brother is, and you're supposed to know where your brother is. You know how your brother is, and you're supposed to know how your brother is. How are we supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ if we don't know what each other's burdens are?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and we are called to walk with and alongside, you know, and it's like, for some people, maybe he doesn't call you to marriage, maybe he doesn't call you to parenting, but he called you to somebody.
To himself, at the very least.
And, I mean, to himself, but he also called you to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and we kind of are giving ourselves more and more, I'm not looking for the word excuses.
Leeway?
Yeah, like.
Leeway?
More and more leeway to like, oh, well, like, I don't even feel bad about this. You know, like, oh, no, I'm supposed to. We're such a me society.
We are.
Everything is just like, oh, no, like, protect your peace. Maintain your this. Like, everything is just me, me, me. And as long as I'm good. And it's almost like we've gone to the far extreme of that means I have no accountability for anyone else but me. You know, like, I have to take care of me at all costs, which means, you know, it's like, it's okay for me not to care about you that much. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't even know how people are doing. I don't know. I just think about, I don't know. But people don't want that. They don't want the responsibility of other people because it's heavy.
It is heavy, Chelsea. Anybody who God ever sent, he sent with somebody else in mind.
Yeah.
If not an entire people.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I'm sitting there thinking, Moses, hey, Moses, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to free my people and I'm going to make you, you're going to do it for me. Like, you're going to go and do this for my people.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, hey, Jeremiah, I need you to go say this to my people.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Jesus, you need to come down and save these people.
Yeah.
Hey, Samson, He ain't say that to Samson. But everybody, if anybody ever messed up, the reason they got in trouble is when they took their eyes off of the actual mission, which was other people.
And put it on themselves.
And put it on themselves.
Yeah.
It's like, here comes Moses. Ah, these pesky people. How long am I going to have to deal with you? And now you've unhallowed God's name, right? So even Samson, he's supposed to be judging people. He out doing anything he can think to do, whatever he could possibly be doing.
But she's pretty, God.
She's pretty, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you? I mean,
and
what
I
did
have
you expect?
Needs.
I got these needs, man, and I'm strong. Like they be liking me, man. Like, what you want me to do? Say no? Like, I got to say yes.
That is too funny.
You know
funny.
What I'm saying? Jonah, I don't want to go down to these people in Nineveh.
Yeah,
it's like, yo. And I don't even want to discount and say like it's easy. Like God, he calls us to do stuff we don't want to do.
Yeah, it ain't easy at all.
Because it's better for somebody else.
Yeah.
In the long run, and even in the short run, it's better for me because obedience to God is good.
Yeah.
But
and rewarded.
Yes. But the reward is like, and all the benefits is really for somebody else.
It's true.
Yeah, and that's hard to accept.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's worth it to get to a place where you can say Moshe, and I know what you're talking about. That's from a good 10 years ago.
I say,
over 10 years ago.
I say cockle, and you know exactly what's going on. I say, amen. You know exactly what
Cali Day.
Cali Day.
You know, but no, for real, it's like that's priceless. Mm-hmm. But it's even more so because there's a place that you can't get to with friends and with parents, and with it's like there's just something that about a marriage where it's like there you literally are supposed to be able to be like just completely
naked.
Yeah, like we share everything. Yes. I can tell, like, it's not like if my parents, I'm not gonna go to y'all and talk about my sex life. You know, I mean, some people do that and that's strange, but I mean, God bless y'all, but it's strange to me. But, you know, it happens, but it's like, but even if you do, I feel like somewhere in the recesses of your mind, you know, it's weird. Like, you know, that's not like such a natural thing, you know, or just certain things I've done where it's like, I don't want you to know that about me.
No, not even, not at all.
Cause you're my parent. You ain't supposed to know that.
Yes.
You used to beat my behind for doing stuff that I ain't supposed to do. And, you know, in my mind, you still should beat me. And I don't want to tell you, you know, but in marriage, that's literally supposed to be the one relationship, because friends you don't have a covenant with, you know, and then parents, there's an unspoken covenant just that the Lord has written in our hearts, I believe, between parents and children, but like marriage is the only one where it's like, no, like you're supposed to know everything about me and still love me. Like this is supposed to be legit, unconditional.
Yeah,
legitimately.
Yes.
You know, like I can tell you all the things and there's no reason for me not to be able to. Ooh. And you still love me, you're still here, and therefore we are able to put time in, but like in such a, you know, there's a relationship that, well, I've had it in several relationships with different people where, you know, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells around them, because if they hurt me or wrong me in some way, if I tell them, I'm risking our relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, well, I can't actually, you know, and even that can be hard in marriage where it's like, because people get defensive and all this type of stuff. But it's like, I don't know. In friendships, people can just be like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm going home. but in marriage, it's like you're really supposed to be able to do that. And I think that you have what I'm trying to say is the relationship is more genuine that way. Because if you can't like literally be honest about everything, even when you're calling somebody out on their foolishness, then it's like, yeah, we can move forward and be cordial and be happy and have a good time together.
Yes.
But this is based on false pretenses.
Yes.
Because I can't actually be honest with you. And we're avoiding hard conversations and stuff like that. And it's like, if that is the requirement for me being in a relationship with you, then what we have is not real.
It's very shallow.
It's very shallow.
Right.
And I feel like a marriage is a space where like it's not supposed to be shallow. And I think that's the essence of what I was thinking with the whole Taylor Swift thing. It's more shallow. There's fans of Travis Kelce that are happy for him and maybe crying at home on their couch because they're happy for him, because just empathy. you know, but they don't know that man. They don't really know what that means to him. Mm-hmm. They don't know what he's been through to get where he is, you know, and it's the people that really know, you know, that can really share in that with you, where it's not shallow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's well-intended regardless. Sure. It's always well-intended. It always comes from a good fuzzy place, but it's not deep. It's not intimate.
Yeah.
It's not intimate. And, you know, intimacy, I think, is still something to be desired, even if that means that you have to have hard conversations. And even if that means you have to be uncomfortable and you have to fix yourself, you know, and you have to, you know, just apologize and like just do all this hard stuff. Like, intimacy is worth that.
Yes. I was thinking in my mind, unconditional does not come without conditions. Because unconditional love, really, from God, you know, and even from your spouse, it really speaks to their feeling for you, their heart posture towards you.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't speak to the condition of the relationship. Because God is, he literally, he's not, when he is, I was literally writing this morning, is that he doesn't love people. He is love to people. He's not unconditionally loving you. He's just being himself.
Wow.
Which is a really, it's a very hard thing to really make sense of.
He is good.
That he is good. It's not that he's being good. No, he is. That's just it. Who he is. You know, he exists in a place where, number one, he doesn't change. And he is.
Yeah.
He lives in eternity. This is literally the only place where you are.
Yeah.
Not you were or will be. Like, he lives there. And his unconditional love comes from that place. It's like, no matter what you need or, you know, or who you are or what you've done, his love is available to you. But once you have his love and now you come into the relationship, it doesn't mean that there's no conditions.
Yeah.
It's unconditional love, conditional relationship. The relationship is upon the condition that, okay, where are you, child? I reciprocate that. You are here. Okay, cool. You get to know me here. You want to, and then he says, draw nigh. Like, okay, if I'm drawing closer, he is also drawing closer. It's not, hey, don't care about me and I'm getting closer. That's not how it works. My love is available, right? But you have to access the relationship. When you come into Christ, you don't know God.
Yeah.
This is the hardest part to actually realize
and
about.
It's not that you don't know who he is. You don't know how he is.
Right. Like,
and
you know,
how to be like him and how to please him.
You've heard about.
That's it.
It's literally no different than if I said, well, if you were in a relationship with Travis Kelce right now, like, okay, hey, I'm in a relationship with Travis Kelce. Great. Okay. Where does he live? I don't know. I know where he works. I know he works in the NFL, plays for the Chiefs. Okay, how tall is he? I don't really know. You know, it's like that with God. And this is where, you know, more spiritual and more seasoned Christians, we mess up, and even me. And, you know, where you can be more judgmental, because the new experience of being a Christian and getting to know God is a hard one. First of all, he's God.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how do you get to know this invisible spirit?
First of all, you're never done.
Right? You're never done. Let's just start there. Even when you're deep in, you're only scratching the surface.
Absolutely.
Very hard. Very hard to you know, measure and be like, well, how deep am I? Not deep at all. But you're pretty deep, but not really. But for new Christians, they don't know God. So at now all. You're trying to navigate and say, okay, well, what does my relationship look like with him? I know that I have the unconditional love, but what is the measure of my relationship with him?
Yeah.
Same thing in our marriage. It's like, you have that love, but the measure of the relationship is different everywhere. And it's supposed to be growing together, but it can also grow apart.
That's the truth.
And that's a battle that you face. But it's the same battle we face with God.
Yeah.
I have to be intentional about drawing closer. I'm making the bond. I'm forging the bond. Really, God is. He's forging it, but I'm putting in my part.
Yeah.
My part is it seems like a maximum to me, but really it's minimal. I'm just coming with a whole open heart and willingness.
We just plant and water.
And then he says, okay, I'll grow that.
That's it. We plant and water.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. But it's the same thing with our marriage, Chels, where we just plant and water and try to grow closer. And you end up creating a bond that is really unbreakable unless you break it.
That's the truth.
Unless I break it.
Yeah.
You know, for what you mean to me is, you know, is it's not even measurable. Well, you know, you're my everything, you know, and I love you more than words can express, because it's deeper than words. It's like I've said to you and I've said to other people, is that it's not about the infatuation phase of relationships. It's actually a weaker state.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it takes no forging process. It takes no bond. It takes no equity.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just, I have a chemical that goes off in my mind when I see you, because I think you're attractive.
Yeah.
And you're sexy to me, and mm-hmm. I like your personality. Mm-hmm. And we have fun together.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. But that's shallow.
Yeah.
That's shallow, because if we ever come to a point where we're not having fun together, it actually affects the relationship. Right? And now if you're not as sexy to me anymore,
uh-huh.
I find somebody else who's sexier. Now it affects the relationship because it's so shallow. But that time spent in it becomes so much more foundationally sound.
Yeah.
And that is built upon time and trust and devotion and sex with you and child rearing and having births and having loss and homelessness, not for us per se,
mm-hmm.
but you know, homelessness and job moving and moving across the state and just being with people that just know you intimately and have accepted you and loved you through it all.
Yeah.
Is that bond and that foundation and that equity in there is priceless.
Yeah.
And God is all the more. God is the one who's like, okay, God, you were with me when I was homeless.
Yeah.
Even though it felt like I was alone. Mm-hmm. I wasn't alone
mm-hmm.
when I had to move jobs. And I saw how you move in my workplace. I saw how you moved in the church. I saw how you've grown me in careers and in my mm-hmm. skills. And you've made my prayer life better, Father. I know more of the word. It's like the bond that you have with God is the same thing. It's a foundation that is just built with time, and it literally becomes priceless.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's a good thing to say, and it's the truth, that the Lord, He is good.
Yes, He is.
And His mercy is everlasting. He is merciful. Ooh. It's that.
That's it. Oh my goodness, Ron.
Yes.
That's it.
His mercy is everlasting.
Because that's why that follows that statement.
Yes.
Because He is, oh my Lord, because He is good.
Yes.
He is moral.
Yes.
And therefore His mercy
has to last because He's always being merciful, Chelsea.
Ooh, like when you really start seeing that it's not about He is good to us,
right?
He is literally just good in and of Himself.
Yes, ma'am. And
woo,
yes.
And then He's so, it's now the mercy is what's being good to us.
Yes,
that's what is being given.
Yes,
that's the mercy. But the goodness is just His being. It's not what He does. It's not about His actions. It's really about His actual state of being.
Wow.
And therefore, the mercy means that much more.
It does.
We all should just not. He should have just not even took the time to be like, let me even embark upon this
anything.
This journey of creating these raggedy human beings.
Should have just been like, that's okay.
That's all right, because this is about to be a hot, like, whoa, this a lot.
Yeah.
But like, wow.
I used to think it was the grace, Chelsea, but like I'm feeling like it's the mercy.
It's the mercy. It's the mercy.
I remember when we did the what did it call? It was like a gospel cafe where we did like jazzed up gospel tunes at Perfecting, and I, you know, just the spirit was moving. I just went off on a covenant, and I was saying it was the grace, and I said it's one thing to escape, but it's another thing to be embraced, and I equated that to grace, but something about the mercy is like,
because when you really
realize it's like, it's not even that, it's like the way God is merciful is the same way He's good. He's not, His very being of being good is Him being merciful to us, because it can't separate itself.
That's it.
If like he can't, if He was to take away His mercy, this is why it's everlasting, is because He can't, there's no point where He can say, okay, I don't have to be merciful now.
Yeah, no. No.
He can't, like, there's never
even
a time.
Even in eternity, because we didn't deserve to get there.
Even in eternity, right? He's mercy. Always merciful. Just for us to exist, He has to be merciful. Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yes.
Sorry, that got me. Because I never, it's like I'm just getting such a new perspective on like every instance where the Lord in the word, it's saying you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, even, and now I'm in Lamentations, you know, it's like your mercy is new every morning, great is your faithfulness and all. It's because of your mercies that I am not consumed.
Right.
That's why I'm not consumed.
There it is.
And great is your faithfulness. You are faithful to be merciful.
There it is.
You don't change. Oh, yeah. You can't change because it would be a wrap. Because we would immediately be consumed.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's and that's good. You know, people get upset about it sometimes. I've been upset about it at times. Like, well, Lord, you know, it's not my fault that I'm sinful. I was just born like that and all this type of stuff. But it's like, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it. And he knows that.
He knows.
And if we can just be grateful that, you know, to him, it was more important to have someone to share things with. He's an intimate God.
Yeah.
It's important to him to have people to share everything with. Mm. That's really what this was all about, is that he could literally just exist in and of himself and give himself everything and be everything to himself.
Right.
But he wants to share it with people that actually chose to share it with him back. That's the whole purpose of just us even existing.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that means, because unfortunately I can't create me.
Yeah.
So unfortunately that means I have to create people who are not me, who are not good.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way for me to redeem them to myself is to allow them to realize how bad they are and how much they need me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really look at it that way, it's just such a beautiful, it's a beautiful reality, you know? It's a beautiful reality. It's not something to get angry about. I've been angry before about that.
Mm.
You know, like, Lord, I didn't want to be sinful.
Mm.
You know, like, I literally was born in sin and shaping in iniquity, and then you get mad at me about it? That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I had to really sort that out, you know? But it was when I came to that realization that he's like, well, but I'm the only one who's me.
Yeah.
You know, and I created you, and, you know, I didn't make you be bad.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have it in you to be good. Like, you literally could have just chose the right way, but you won't. I'm sorry.
Don't have it in you.
You don't have it in you.
Don't got it in you, Lord.
I was watching Gilmore Girls, of course, because I'm always watching Gilmore Girls.
Yikes.
And Lorelai tells her parents... She tells her parents this story. I'm sorry, the episode is funny. But because they're like, well, what do you mean? Because she's like, I'm not surprised by whatever it is that they did. And they're like, well, what do you mean you're not surprised? And she's like, the scorpion and the frog. And they're like, what is that? And she says, a scorpion acts a frog to carry it across the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they the frog's like, I can't do that. You're going to sting me.
Mm-hmm.
And the scorpion says, no, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to the middle of the water. The scorpion stings him. And he says, why did you do that? He said, I'm sorry. It's just my nature.
It's just my nature.
I can't help it, because that's literally like just the way God can't help being good.
Mm-hmm.
And not only being good in and of himself, but being merciful and loving. Because that's just who he is. He can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like us, it's who we are. We can't do anything else. We can try.
Yeah.
You know, they made it halfway across. But at some point, we're going to sting the frog. And God is like, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's my son.
Yeah.
And here's my mercy.
I got it. Yeah, so death, where's your...
Sting.
Sting.
Grieve, where's your victory?
Where's your victory? So, yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank you all for listening to the BTO, aka Better Than One Marriage podcast. It's a blessing just to share. You know, really, it's about the goodness of God and how it affects our marriage and our relationships, and how God always has something better in store. But His better does not, and I would say almost never, looks exactly like what we thought it was supposed to look like. But it is indeed always better. And if we can accept that, we can excel in our relationship. And if we can accept that about our lives, we can excel in our lives. He is the difference maker. He is the secret sauce. He is the cheat code.
Amen.
God, because His purposes will stand. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's counsel and His purpose that will actually stand. So the best thing you can do is to get in line with His purpose for your life and for your marriage, and His will be done. I love you.
I love you too.
We love you all, and we'll see you or hear from you next time.